the joy of knowing, the joy of knowing you. Oh, the joy of knowing, the joy of knowing you. Oh, the joy of knowing, the joy of knowing you.
Welcome to Positively Joy. Are you living life but feel like something's missing? You've come to the right place. I'm Yvette Walker, your host for this podcast on finding the true meaning of God's joy. Joy is not a feeling, it's faith. And my guests and I will talk about how to avoid falling down the rabbit hole of chasing physical or emotional joy. In this season, we'll tackle spiritual growth as we discover the true joy of the Lord. It's Yvette here, putting on my writer's hat. Do you like thrills, mystery, and a little clean romance? My latest book and first novel is on Amazon. 60 is a fast-paced crime novel of a Christian reporter who goes back to the location of her first big news story about a serial killer. Now an editor, Linda Radcliffe finds intrigue and an old love. Get your copy today. Go to positivelyjoy.com/books to see all my fiction and inspirational nonfiction, like my devotional, Whispering in His Ear, and Journaling His Joy, a 6-month guided journal to help you find real joy. How can grief be about joy? When grief of your own son turns into new lives for lots of other children and families. Beth Thorpe, after the loss of her son, Mitchell, started a foundation with her husband that would go on to help other children with illnesses, diagnosed or not, find healing. Beth told me she was not ready to start down this path, but realized it is what God wanted to turn Mitchell's story from one of death to life. The Mitchell Thorpe Foundation has raised millions to help these families. Let's learn more about it and how she coped from Beth. Beth Thorpe, thank you so much for being on the show today to talk about your son and the foundation that you created after the struggle with his illness. And you are helping so many other children in the wake of his passing. There's just so much I want to get into, but I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much, Yvette, for having me. Glad to be here.
It's super awesome. And I know that Mitchell is probably smiling down and is just so proud of his mommy. So let's talk a little bit about how this all got started. Let's talk about Mitchell and let's talk about the foundation.
Sure. Well, as far as Mitchell, beautiful soul. I mean, he was just a joyful child. You know, even his teachers would say after his passing, they would write letters that would almost break my heart. Anytime Mitchell would walk in the room, he just light up the room. He always had that tender heart. You know, he always looked out for the underdog, never tolerated bullying, always stood up for people that, you know, that kind of nature he was, you know. Mm-hmm. And not only that, he was an exceptional student, you know, 4.0 student, and he loved baseball. I mean, baseball was his thing. His daddy was a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. In the minor league system and back in the day. So my husband coached a lot of children in this area that we live in baseball. So a lot of life lessons came out of baseball for our boys, and I turned into a baseball mom. So that was all wonderful, happy times until the age of 13 when he came home with very, really bad headaches. But then I thought, well, like any parent, you think, well, maybe he's coming down with the flu or the virus or something. You give him a pain medicine and go to bed, you know. But as time progressed, you know, it was 13th, it wasn't going away. So then you go to your natural things, you go to the doctors, this pediatrician, and you start checking off the boxes and they do tests and then, you know, everything's fine, everything's normal, but we go home again and give him more pain reliever, but, and send him off to school. But then he'd come home and he'd say, I'm not right, Mom, there's something wrong. So then you really begin to think, well, something's really not right. And then we even started to see him slow down a little bit in his athletic ability, because he was so athletic and so sports driven. And I just told my husband, there's, you know, as a mama understands their kids so well, they're like, something's seriously wrong here. And we need to figure out what's happening here. So
yeah, because you're seeing your baby and you know what kind of boy he is, as you said, what kind of athlete, and you're seeing him with a noticeable change.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the alarms, and then you just keep driving, trying to find the answers, keep going to find the answers. That was our unending quest for 5 years, no stone unturned. And doctors mystified, scratching their heads. Every test was coming back negative normal, but I'm like, he's not normal. This was normal. And I had to show him pictures. He wants to be on the baseball field. He wants to be back with his friends. And he is in excruciating pain due to what's causing this pain. So it was a rude awakening to our medical system for us, because we've hardly ever went to the doctor for occasional earache and so forth or things like that. But we were always very healthy people. And so it was just a season of life that was confusing, frustrating, chaotic. And even in the midst of all this, because we're very faith-filled people, we had Mitchell pastors coming to the home, praying over us, praying over him. We're on the, I don't know how many churches, you know, the prayer list, please pray for Mitchell Thorpe. And, you know, so in this region here alone, people began to know about our story very quickly and began to wonder what is going on here. So unfortunately, at the age of 18, my precious boy went home to be with the Lord. And that was the hardest thing. Like any parent, losing a child is beyond words. You don't ever wish it upon anyone.
Mm-hmm.
The pain is so deep. They usually say the deeper the love, the harder the grief, right?
Yes.
To come over. And it really is like your heart was bleeding. It was the depth of my grief was so severe. It was like I could hardly breathe. But in the midst of my grief, it curled up in a ball in my bed, not even wanting to be on the planet anymore, because I feel like a part of me died with him, right?
Right.
But then God illuminated my spirit and just spoke within my spirit. If anyone knows how to hear the voice of God, when you are faithful with him, he will speak to us.
Yes.
Not all the time, but when he speaks, I mean, you will know, like, it was from him, like, who said that? So in me personally, my testimony is that he spoke to my spirit, that illuminated my mind, said, this is not the end. This is the beginning. And I quickly sat up in my bed. And I'm looking to the heavenlies with tears and rolling down my face. What do you mean by that? This is not the end. It feels like the end, that this is the beginning. And literally that same week, my husband was at the local church here sitting in a meeting or something. And two boys he had coached in baseball, one had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. The other one had lymphoma, which is cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Both families trying to struggle to make ends meet. And he heard that calling within him. Like almost the same time God was telling him, you know, you need to form a bridge. He's hearing all these stories, and then we need to form a foundation. What came to his mind? He came home to tell me that. And he says, you know, Beth, I really think we should start a foundation to help many going through what we went through. And I was like, you want to do what? I'm in the midst of my grief. And I'm like, we don't know anything about starting a foundation. What do you mean by that? And so I began to hear him out as a dutiful wife would, you know, and then I began to realize, is that what you meant, God? This is not the end.
Yeah.
This is the beginning. And I'm telling you, from that day forward, you know, it was really that following week, he went to file the paperwork for the foundation and formed it. And our mission is to support families with children with life-threatening illnesses, diseases, and disorders by providing financial, emotional, and resource support to their desperate situation. Which was just everything that we went through. I mean, because what happens, one parent has to quit their job, right? To stay by that child.
Yes.
But those bills keep coming. They don't, you know, not come. And that's what we see happen. And it's just the spiral effect really can wreak havoc on marriages. Because usually, statistically, 78% end in divorce or separation when a child is critically diagnosed or has born with a disease, and they just can't handle it. Someone walks, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But with our foundation, we've been able to keep families together, not in a divorce or separation. So we've had 100% success rate in that. So, and we do this under our programs, our medical and home assistance is what we help. That's our first program. And that's usually everything that covered under insurance for a family.
Mm-hmm.
All those out-of-pocket expenses that they get hit with. And then the home assistance is basically, you know, keep a roof over their head, food on the table and the lights on so they don't end up homeless. And that's important. And then our second program is our healing and rehabilitation program. And we found a lot of families that come out of the hospitals need to continue on with their therapies. Some of them aren't always covered under insurance. Some families want to do more therapy than what they allow.
Sure.
And different types of therapies that they like to do. And under that program, we also offer counseling for the whole family unit and sibling support, because a lot of the siblings get forgotten during that process. So whether they need school tutors or camps or... So it's been a lot. And then our third program was our wheelchair conversion van. Not all of our kids need it, but some of them do. And so mm-hmm. we help families with some of the financing toward a van and toward the conversion part. And then the beautiful thing that came out of the other program is our youth leadership that you mentioned earlier. And we found that kids loved coming out from all the high schools to our events. And they wanted to be involved with what we do because we're very hands-on. And so kids love helping kids. So we started a servant leadership training program for students from 8th to 12th grade. And we train them in servant leadership, what it means to be a servant leadership, how to have mm-hmm. a servant's heart like Jesus when you walk the earth, and how to give back to those less fortunate. So we're kind of training up this next generation to walk in that manner and open their eyes. Besides, is this me society that these kids live in today? Uh-huh. You know, it's all about me, you know, selfie this, selfie that. It's all me. Okay, wait a minute. It's not always about. So getting them to see outside a more of the bigger picture. And so those are our four programs that ended up developing out of the program. And here I am with you today, 14 years later now, after Mitchell passed. We've given back over $3 million and counting back into the community, helping families and children and thousands of kiddos later. It's just, I have to pinch myself because I'm like, I look back on it now and can really begin to see the fingerprints of God through it all, where back then I had no clue. So from your audience, I had no clue. My husband and I had no clue that this would be what God wanted to do through my son. And in the subtitle, it is Finding Meaning in the Midst of Tragedy. And I truly believe there was a higher calling on my son's life. And now we're living out his legacy to help so many others.
So many things come to mind. So many. Oh, my goodness. So first of all, I want to deal with the phrase that a lot of people use, and that is, the Lord won't give you more than you can handle. And people who have gone through a situation like you have, I believe that that phrase is somewhat inconsistent because there's a lot of things we cannot handle, but he will walk along with us, and he will help us make sense of it. And then the other piece is loaves and fishes. So in 14 years, I mean, people will be able to see your website. I'm looking at your website, all your programs. I'm looking at your impressive board of directors, all the things you're doing. $3 million later. I mean, I'm assuming that $3 million didn't come out of your bank account.
Oh, no. This is not an easy walk. And mm-hmm. we started, so your audience knows, we just started with one child at a time. First, my husband and I got on our hands and knees and committed it over to the Lord. And he's the CEO of it because he knows exactly who we're supposed to help and mm-hmm. how we're supposed to go about this, because he planted it in our spirits. And I mean, literally, my husband and I were in totally different industries before even thinking about doing this. So this is something that didn't happen overnight. So this is something that grew one child at a time. Mm-hmm. One donor at a time, you know, sponsorships, donors, you know, things that keep coming in. The more you do, the more they see the work you're doing, you know, and to fund your mission, mm-hmm. right? You have to fund this mission that you're doing. This mission work is what we call it, because it really is. And just to see it grow over the years. And there was a lot of years, it was tough, because for 5 years, I didn't pull a salary because every dollar coming in, I wanted it to go back to the children and the families. That's just my heart. So to me, it was all about them, not so much us. I know we could survive, and we know we could, But that's how we grew. There's a lot of sacrifice and give and take, just like anyone who starts a business. Mm-hmm. Usually they say the first year you're either going to fail, you know, or make it, you know, and you usually end up, people who all run businesses pay their employees before they pay themselves, right? Yeah. Just to keep the doors open. So, you know, there's a lot of that going on, but just staying faithful.
Faithful. That is the word I wanted to point out. Yes. Because God spoke to you and he spoke to your husband, which was very helpful that he spoke to both of you. So you were come together on this, but you still had to be faithful. You still had to walk that road in the midst of your grief, as you said. Can you tell us how long after Mitchell passed did you start this foundation?
Oh my goodness. He passed in that November of 2008, Thanksgiving week. And that was a real challenge.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to be thankful. And it was hard. That was hard on our whole family. But 2009, it was early, almost a year later, you know, the paperwork went in and we started. And even I'm still grieving during this time. Yeah. I have to tell you that it, you know, it was a 5-year journey in and out, just in the battle trenches and of trying to help him and find a cure. I was dealing with PTSD just from the trauma and wearing my body down with it all. And it took 2 years to really, truly be healed. And for my husband and I, we truly needed, in our case, our spiritual counselor, who we have known for many years in our church. And I usually tell people, if you're in a place where you, at least for me, I was starting to get into what we call complicated grief, which means it's not a good place to be because I was heading down the wrong road. And I knew I needed help. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay to ask for help. And I knew I needed to come out of this to be a wife to my husband and a mother to my other son. And so we went through this whole exercise. She took us through my first worked on my husband and then me, and this whole exercise of forgiveness and had to break things off of us that we were carrying that we don't need to carry. You know, all the doctors that couldn't find answers, people that said things that they shouldn't have said, family members that should have done things they shouldn't have done, you know, all that stuff that gets in your spirit that needed to be broken off for us to move forward. And that's what I tell people a lot. If you can't get through you have to forgive, like Jesus says, you got to keep forgiving 77 times and then even then more, right? Keep 70, you have to keep forgiving in order for you to move forward. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck, and many people stay stuck, and they become bitter and angry, and or they mask it with drugs and alcohol, and that's no good for them or anyone around them. So
true.
So it really was from that transformation of that healing exercise, we were really both transformed, literally transformed, coming through the refiner's fire is what I call it. It's like God took us through that. And we came out the next day and literally I was so changed, so transformed. I looked at my husband, and I said, I don't want to do anything else on this planet unless it has eternal significance. I mean, that's how it turned us around in 360 degree. Nothing mattered anymore, Yvette. I mean, really, not. You go through something like this, nothing matters. And I think what happened is for me, I had the enemy messed with the wrong mama and papa bear. And the enemy for your audience is Satan, who prowls the world, seeing who he can kill, destroy, and wreak havoc in their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's just like this fire in my belly just came up. And it was probably just from the Holy Spirit. Just got me so to the point where, you know, you messed with the wrong mama bear. I am going to bring more people to Christ. And you're not going to stop me for what you stole. We were going to redeem. So again, walking that walk and that faith walk. Because so faith doesn't always take you out of the problem. Faith takes you through the problems. And faith doesn't always take away the pain that you might be going through. Having a strong faith and that good foundation gives you the ability to handle all this trauma and this pain that we walk through in the so-called world of life we all live in. And so, you know, and faith doesn't always take you through these, all what I call the storms and chaos in life. It really helps you deal with the storms, helps calm the storm. Because some people say, how can you manage to stay so calm and peaceful? Well, It's my walk with my Lord that keeps me there.
Is that a possible answer to the timeless question, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? But maybe that's not the right question. Maybe the question is, why do faithful people, or why can they walk through the bad things in a way that maybe other people can't? Maybe that's the question. Because you had to be, you and your husband both, and I also want to talk a little bit about Mitchell and his faith, but you guys had to be certainly grieving, but you had to be at a place where you were obviously you were believers in God. You understood what he could do for you. You didn't know why things were happening, but it seems to me you had to have a really faithful foundation to even begin to think this way. Am I correct?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, because, you know, in the midst of your grief, I mean, that's all you're in. And it's like, I'm normally by nature a very happy, joyful person. That's my nature. I'm always an encourager. I'm always, but this was a very dark season in my life I've ever walked through. There's other things that I have gone through that being an overcomer. I had a 5-centimeter brain tumor removed. This was 5 years after Mitchell's passing. So there was a part of that in a chapter that in my book titled Overcomer, How to Be an Overcomer. Mm-hmm. And so I speak to that. And so, but we don't know why things happen to us, right?
Right.
Like in our case, I use baseball analogy. We got thrown a massive curveball. You know, you really has just got the rug gets pulled out from underneath you when you're living your life. It was normal and happy and beautiful. And all of a sudden, it can turn on a dime. Mm-hmm. So people have to be just know and appreciate life and what you have for this moment and this day. And I'll never remember my counselor saying to us, she said, you know, do not look in your past, because that's where the enemy lives, of regret. What if, what could have been? And don't look too far in your future, because that's where anxiety lives, of how everyone's moving forward and all the things Mitchell could have become and all his friends moved on and graduated. She says, you have to stay in the present. This is all you have right here and now, this moment. So you have to keep your mind focused with that, because otherwise that's where our thoughts can take over, and you don't want to repeat this movie in your brain. That is not a good place to go. So you have to take captive your thoughts, and those who are believers need to know how to do that and ask the Lord to take captive your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So that they are godly thoughts and all that. So learning as Christians to know where your authority is and how to exercise that. So many Christians don't know how to exercise their authority.
So true. And you're speaking, you're probably speaking of it going through it, but in the aftermath. But in the middle of it, where there were still so many questions and you didn't know, there was no diagnosis, and why was there pain? Just so many questions. You were Christians. I'm assuming Mitchell was raised Christian as well. Were you able... Comfort is not the right word, but were you able to speak to him about God? Did he
everything? Yes,
he did. Did he? Was there solace there for him?
Well, the way I was able to, because of his walk with us, he was a faithful little boy, and we prayed every night. We just would talk about it, and I would always be praying and speaking life into him. And when it came to the point when he was bedridden, I would put in little CD cassettes so he could listen to various pastors speak. Anything that was faith-filled or not being able to give up on himself and life, and always playing worship music in his room so he could listen to it. So I remember in many hospital rooms all the time, I remember all the nurses used to love to come into our room. It was so funny because they gravitated toward the music. They gravitated toward what I was playing, and actually got to minister to a lot of nurses at the same time. You know, God, it works in very mysterious ways. Mm-hmm. So he had that in him. And, you know, it broke my heart when it later on, when he would motion to the heavens, like he couldn't speak at the end and or walk. And I knew how much pain was in. He was motioning upward, like where he wanted to go. And I just lost it. And I just said, oh, Mitchell, hang on there. You know, to this day, we call him our warrior son because he battled this for so long. I couldn't even imagine living one day with a bad headache all the time and pain, much less 5 years of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very difficult because even with his autopsy report, it was undetermined. When you had to read it, undetermined.
They still, even at the end, there was no diagnosis.
No diagnosis.
Oh, my goodness.
So you begin to think, you know, here we are in the 20th century. Why? And we took him literally all over the nation. But I know many people I've spoken to, and being on other podcasts and so forth, there are many people who have been misdiagnosed in this world, mm-hmm. undiagnosed, still trying to find answers for certain things. And it's a challenging thing out there. And, you know, I began to understand, you know, doctors aren't God, they're human.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of for us a rude awakening to the medical system. And but anyway, we're here now at this point to be the light in the dark for other families going through what we went through. And I think for us, we were chosen to walk this. We were obedient. You know, God asks us to do three things as he commands: to listen to him, trust him, and obey.
Mm-hmm.
And if we didn't obey, my husband and I could have done something else, right? We could have not done this, right? We could have, but look at how we would have missed out on this opportunity to have helped so many. So it's not an easy walk, but it's a beautiful thing to help families going through, young families like us when we were going through it. And just, was it 2 days ago, we met another family we were helping here. This poor child has brain cancer, and he is for the third time. So I'm down here and met the mom and who came down from Los Angeles to San Diego, and we helped them get an Airbnb. The foundation helped provide that, mm-hmm. so they can have the comfort, because the Ronald McDonald House was full. Wow. And plus the fact she wanted to bring extended family down. And but we got to meet him at the Proton Center when he came out from treatment. And I'll tell you, Yvette, I don't know what the Lord, that beautiful little child, I just stood there. He came right toward me, and I just hugged him right here and held his head and just began to pray over this beautiful child. And I don't know, just the way the Lord moves me, you know, how you just can't help it. I had so much compassion for this and mm-hmm. for children. So back to that notion, you know, God obviously chose us. And if I think about it, back when Jesus chose his disciples, right?
Mm-hmm.
To carry on his work and his, and that's basically what happened here. You know, God chooses us all, and not just me. He chooses us all. He chose you, Yvette, to start this podcast. He chooses us all. It's a matter of what we do with it. Are we willing to accept the mission, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for you, the mission is beyond the diagnosis now. The diagnosis is in the past, or the undiagnosis, right? That's in the past now. You are focusing on the present, on your present, as you said, but also the future through the foundation and helping all these children. I just, again, if you go to the website, which is mitchellthorpe.org, and you look at the tab, Mitchell Thorpe Foundation Children. I mean, you can actually see real children and information about them. And I'm seeing about maybe 18, 20 children on here that, you know, that need your support, and that you can read about them. you know, somewhat like you support a child out of the country, you know, there's various foundations like that. But I mean, it's nice to be able to see the child and to see how you can help and to see your donation, like they're looking for this amount and now you're able to give toward that. I mean, that makes it very personable. And I think just such a very nice touch just to see who you're helping. And back to Loaves and Fishes just really quickly. So you started with what you had, but look how God has multiplied that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the thing. You were faithful to his command, and then he has just been multiplying the blessings and multiplying the blessings and multiplying the blessings.
It's, again, I keep pinching myself, and every day I wake up and, you know, just, I always say, God, where are we going next? You know, because who are we to meet today? You know, he always surprises me. Mm-hmm. And I always go with a heart of, oh, this is not one more thing I have to do. I always think in my heart, this is an opportunity I have to see what can come of something. Right. So, so that's all good stuff. So now over the years, like I said, I couldn't see the fingerprints of God through it all. People always encourage me, oh gosh, you really should tell your story. You need to write your story, Beth. You really need to tell what God did through you and this foundation. So you hear that enough. So it's always been planted in my spirit for many years. I wanted to actually write it in my 10-year anniversary, but I couldn't get it from my head to my heart to my fingers. It was like writer's block. It was like, I think I was looking at the big elephant of trying to relive it all and tell the story. It's a lot. But again, COVID hit, right? I mean, if anything positive came out of COVID, I wrote a book. So that, So there's a lot of creative works that might've came out of COVID.
A lot of creative work. I mean, if you ask a lot of the creative Christian community out there, books, podcasts, music, so much came out of it during that time. Oh.
It's awesome. And it's beautiful. Yeah. Now this is what's happening. And it's time. It's time that we all let people know that God is real. He's alive. He is working in our lives, even in the when you feel like he's not. But, you know, God is a relationship man. I mean, a person, a spirit. We have to open our hearts to him. And if we don't invite him in, you're not going to experience all this. And then I usually tell people, you know, I don't know their walks when we go into these hospital rooms with these young families and these children. But typically most of them, I say, you know, do you mind? I don't know where your faith is or where you are with that, but do you mind if we pray for you and your family and your child? And of course they're going to say yes or not. So that's when we can get right in there. And we begin to lay hands on the child. I say, come, let's all grab hands around the bed. And then, we just take authority over that room, over the enemy, and we just pray for wisdom over the doctors and their care and just everything, and then begin to speak life into these children. Because again, I don't want them to feel like they're going to die. I want them to know that this is just a chapter in your life. You will live. You will have a story to tell. They need to hang on to hope.
Yes.
And I always leave them with a book of inspirational prayers. And I just say, read this to your child every day. You read it for yourself to start building your faith. And people say, how do you do that? That's how you start. You start building your faith, open up the word, start reading it daily. Let God speak to you. Take 15, 20 minutes. For me, it's in the morning. But you find that time and that space to spend time with him and let him work through you.
So true. Your book, A New Creation. And I want to talk about this just a little bit, because I think that there could be people listening that maybe intellectually understand it, but maybe can't figure out how it really happens. So your book is called A New Creation, and your subtitle is Finding Meaning in the Midst of Tragedy. So if someone is listening now, is going through something, and they are trying to find meaning in that struggle or trying to find meaning in the midst of that tragedy, but they are having difficulty doing so, what words would you have for them?
Oh, yes. Let me find my favorite scripture here. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. And that's in Psalm 34:18. And I would say in Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And that's how I felt. Because God is near to those that are crushed in spirit. And he shows his strength in when we are in our weakest. And there have been many days, oh, Lord, I can't put one foot in front of the other. I can't do this. But he can. So his strength, I think that's what happened. The strength comes through us when we are the weakest, and he shines brightly in that way. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
And it's like there were days I couldn't, like I said, put one foot in front of the other. And that's what I would encourage others. Just it takes those baby steps, but invite him in. He will carry you through. He will show you the right steps. Say, Lord, show yourself real to me. I know you're there. I want to open my heart and let you in. And then please direct my steps. Show me what I need to do next. And just, you have to learn to be still. Some people have the hardest time to be still because they're always moving on to the next thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when we talked about, there's something to be said about being still when our world is quieted, like COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It quieted our world down so we can begin to hear him, start taking more time with him, whether it's long walks. For me, I have a beautiful ocean. I can take ocean walks. So it's beautiful here. I can do that and just speak with him. But, you know, don't be upset if you don't hear anything right away, right? It's just, you know, carry on a conversation with your Lord. He loves that. He's in the details of your life. And he created us all in his image. And he wants no one to perish. He wants everyone to come to him, right? No matter what you're going through, whoever's listening, whatever pain you're going through or whatever walk you're walking right now and you're feeling alone and isolated. And if you invite him in, you won't feel that way. You won't feel alone. You won't feel isolated. He is there with you and he is walking with you.
So beautiful. If you would like to learn more information about the foundation, it's mitchellthorpe.org. If you'd like to find out more about the book, it's anewcreation.org. And if you really want to dig into the foundation, it's a very well built out website. You can find out about their organization, about their board of directors, about their policies and their finance. Because, you know, today there's lots of charities and there have been some that have, you know, not handled their funding, you know, well. So some people do care about that. But you can learn, you know, all about their organization there and also look at the families, the babies that we talked about that need your help. Beth, I just want to thank you and your husband. He's not on right now, but please thank him for me and everything that you are doing to help families who are going through the darkest times of their lives. And because you have walked through that. I thank you for your faithfulness in carrying out God's command. And I just know he's going to continue to bless other people through the foundation.
Aww. Thank you, Yvette, for those kind words.
From Positively Joy Ministries comes Journaling in His Joy, a new journal that can help you discover what brings real joy by journaling every day and creating a 6-month record of memories worth collecting. With over 240 journaling pages, monthly and weekly check-in sheets, and weekly coloring journal pages, this guided journal will help you find joy even in difficult times by actively looking and choosing to see it in every moment. In this journal, you'll look for joy every day and record what you see and experience. Maybe you'll experience it in a rainbow or a song or in the sound of laughter. Choose joy on days where nothing seems to go right and spread that joy to others. Get your copy of Journaling in His Joy, available at Amazon and other fine booksellers. Thank you for listening to Positively Joy. Go to positivelyjoy.com to hear previous episodes and to learn more about our ministry and books. Support Positively Joy by becoming a Patreon member and sign up for our newsletter. Thanks to Mars Coleman for the use of his song, The Joy of Knowing. And thanks to Susan Marie for editing and production of the podcast. Till next week.
Oh, the joy of knowing, the joy of knowing.